The suffering survivors of the family of Elimelech had spent 10 years in the land of Moab, far away from their home in Bethlehem. This had been the consequence of a very costly choice which Elimelech had made in his own wisdom. Rather than trusting in his God, he thought he knew better. Naomi had moved to Moab with her husband, with their sons, Mahlon and Chilion. They left Bethlehem in a time of famine. We read that in the opening verses. Elimelech selfishly brought his family down to a pagan, idolatrous land without any thought of their spiritual well-being. Oh yes, he thought of their physical need, but he never contemplated their spiritual need. He brought them down to Moab. It proved, as we considered last week, to be a very costly choice as Elimelech lost his life there. And Naomi, rather than taking this as a warning from God and heeding God's hand of judgment upon the family, stayed on. Ended up losing her sons, even there in Moab. Sons had married because they had compromised. They had followed their father's compromise, and they had compromised and married two Moabite women against the law of God. And now God's judgment upon this family leaves Naomi bitter. And she's there with her two daughter-in-laws, three widows in one household, poor, destitute, and alone. And the story here starts with a conscious act of disobedience and a deliberate failure to trust in God. And they went willingly to Moab. No one forced them to go. They were not prepared to pray, "Lord, give us this day our daily bread." But rather they thought they knew better. And we don't read here in Ruth of anyone dying in this famine in the land. But yet they thought they knew better. Folks, we need to remember tonight that the Lord is Jehovah Jireh. The Lord provides. The Lord will provide for you as a child of God. The Lord has provided for you, sinner, in providing Christ to be your Savior. The Lord provides. We don't need to run to Moab. We don't need to run down to Egypt. We don't need to run to the world because the Lord provides. They didn't learn this lesson until a very late stage, very costly choice. Relocating to Moab, it seemed like the grass was greener down there. It seemed that this is going to be the best thing for the family. You see, green pastures of compromise often end in hardship and failing. And we often find people repeating the mistakes of this family. They're not alone. They're not just alone in Scripture. We find that all across Scripture, and they're not alone even tonight. We find that all around us, maybe in your own life, you've done something similar. You've trusted in your own wisdom rather than trusted in the Lord. And it's brought you hardship. It's brought you pain. It's brought you sorrow. And we find people repeating this. You see, every time we listen to the world's wisdom rather than God's wisdom, we will repeat this mistake. Every time we think the culture knows better than Scripture, we will make this mistake. And every time we think that we know better than the providence of God in our life, yes, the providence of God may allow us to go through a valley, through a difficult time, through hardships. And sometimes we think, surely God's not bringing us this way. Surely this isn't the right way. We need to do something different. But every time we complain about what God is doing in our life, what he sends into our life, whether it is trouble or pain, and we complain about it, all these things end up with us experiencing the bitter waters and ending up like Naomi, who is bitter. You see, the compromise of Elimelech's family lasted over 10 years, long after the famine had ended. They were still in Moab. She could have returned after the death of Elimelech, but she chose to stay on and make her home among the Moabites. And God's hand was hard upon her. Hard upon her because he had to bring her back, and she had to be taught, and she had to be shown that she was wrong. Her only hope as we come to these verses tonight is to swallow her pride and to admit she was wrong and to return to Bethlehem, back to our right relationship with her God and with God's people. And it seems as we read the passage before us tonight that Bethlehem has repented of that cycle of disobedience. Remember how we spoke about the cycle one after another? They would disobey, they would repent. God would bless them, they would disobey. God would punish them, they'd repent, they'd come back. And this cycle went on, and it seems here they have repented, and the Lord is blessing them again. Now Naomi, she makes this decision to make to the place she should never, to return to the place where she never should have left in the first place. Well, we might be tempted to say, well, surely, you know, hindsight's a great thing. You know, hindsight's a great thing. You know, if she had known this was going to happen, they never would have went. But you know, friends, we have God's word. And if we are following the guidance of God's word, we will not make these mistakes. If we were listening to the Lord's commands, if we are obeying God's word, we will not make the mistake that they made. And how many lives have been wrecked by failure to obey the word of God? Read in verse 6 and 7. Then she arose. She went forth out of the place where she was. And you see a picture here of the prodigal son in Luke 15. When she said, I will arise. You know, I'll go. She remembered her father's house because she went out of the place. And friend, if you would be saved tonight, there is a decision to make. And you need to, that decision means you coming to that place where you realize, I need to leave that old crowd behind. I need to leave that old life behind. It's a complete cut-off. You can't live in the world and live for Christ. And many have tried to clean up their act. But Naomi said, I will arise. And she went forth. It wasn't a clean-up act. And many have tried that, turn over a new leaf. But you see, you never cut ties with the old life. The old sin is still there. And unless you go out of that place, leave that place of your sin, leave it behind, you'll never be saved. You need to arise and leave it behind. You think of Lot's wife. You see, Lot's wife arose. She arose. She got the first part right. She arose, but she never made it out of Sodom alive. She only went so far. But here's Naomi. She not only arose, but she went forth. And friend, you need to do that tonight. If you're still in your sin, you need to arise. You need to leave your sin behind. And you need to go to Christ. One of God's demands for the Christian is separation from the world. Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. And as long as Israel as a nation remains separate from other nations, God bless them. Time and time again, he blessed them because we're separate. And the church, us, we who are saved tonight, we are a called out body. We are to be separated. We are to leave that old life behind, that old worldly life behind. Go to read in Acts 15 and 14. Simeon hath declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take them out, a people for his name. We're taken out. We're called out. We are to be separated. And Naomi, she realized this. She was a backslider. And she realized then she went, she arose with her daughters-in-law, we read in verse 6, that she might return from the country of Moab. Here you'll notice it gives the place from whence she was to return. They went on the way to return unto the land of Judah. And as you think of that for a moment, she leaves Moab to go to Judah. You know, it's heartrending to compare this journey. The first journey they left Judah to go to Moab. Bethlehem, Judah to go down to Moab. And as she left there to go to that, what she thought was going to be a new life for herself. She left with her husband. She left with her two boys. She left with health and hope. She left with all those things and it looked great. And now on her return, she returns in widowhood. She returns in want. She returns in woe. You see, friends, the way of the transgressor is hard tonight. It's hard. And if you live that life of sin, you will end up desolate, distressed, and death will come to you. She learned the hard way. Don't think you can play with sin. And many people think they can dab a little bit in sin. And still it's okay. The Lord will forgive me and get away with it. But you cannot dabble in sin and not get hurt. Oh yes, there may be pleasure in sin. But the Bible tells us it's only for a moment, only for a season. It doesn't last. It comes to an end. There will be a day of reckoning for you. A day when your sin will, as it were, catch up with you. As it caught up with this family. Caught up with Naomi. I want to consider tonight, as we look at verse 6 and 7, I want to consider this journey from Moab to Bethlehem that might be called the Road to Repentance. And that's the title of my message tonight, The Road to Repentance. And three things I want you to notice simply from these verses. Notice firstly the communication that Naomi received. At this point of despair, Naomi makes a decision to return to the place she never should have left. Despite her failures and wrong decisions in this book, it must be seen that she at least desires to return to the place where she had left the Lord and her people. She had this desire. Yes, she had left Bethlehem with her husband. She stayed there after he died, yet her heart was never truly in Moab. As Lot's wife looked back to Sodom with regret, so Elimelech's wife Naomi looked back to Bethlehem with regret. And it appears here that while she's in Moab, she continues to keep tabs on Bethlehem, as it were, listen out to what's going on back at home. She still has an interest. She still listens out to what's going on back at home. And her decision to return here is prompted by the news that we read in verse 6, that the Lord had visited his people and given them bread. She heard this. She had heard in the country of Moab how the Lord had visited his people and given them bread. This communication, it came to her. Now remember in our message last time, in the opening five verses, we mentioned the famine in the land and how that famine was a result of the disobedience of the people and how the Lord had brought this upon them because every man was doing what was right in his own eyes. And the Lord was dealing out the judgment that they deserved. But remember, we also said that the sovereignty of God is written all over this little book. It's everywhere in it. And God's hand is upon every detail. He's bringing all these things together for his eternal purpose. But now as we read verse 6, we see the tide has come in again in the land. The famine has passed. The Lord's been blessing again. And he's given his people bread. And as Naomi was staying in Moab one day, the land that had promised so much to her and her family, 10 years ago as she left Bethlehem to go there, and this land that had brought her nothing but emptiness, she hears this good news from a far country. The Lord again has visited my people and given them bread. The Lord is blessing back home. And somehow or another, it struck her how small and narrow and little that Moab actually was in comparison to what the Lord had done and was doing for his people. You see, she probably played over that fateful decision in her mind so many times. Why? Why did we do it? If only we had stayed. If only we stayed, Elimelech might be alive. If only we stayed, my two boys might be alive. If only we had trusted in the Lord to provide for us. If only. If only. Her heart must have been filled with so much regret as she heard this news coming back from the homeland. How they were being blessed and she was in barrenness and bitterness and had lost everything. You see, friend, regret tonight will never bring you peace. You need repentance and restoration because you think of Judas as he betrayed Christ. He regretted his decision, but he never repented of his decision and he went to a lost sinner's hell. And maybe you're here tonight and you regret things you've done. You know you've sinned. You know you've broken God's law. You know you've done things that are wrong and you regret doing them. And in that sense, you're sorry, but you've never repented. You've never come to Christ and turned your back on your sin and changed direction and fled to Christ for salvation. And here Naomi, I'm sure she had regret here, but you see, she went further than regret. And dear sinner, you might have regret tonight. And Naomi may have had regrets and these onlys, but dear sinner, if you die in your sin, let me say this solemnly, you will have an eternity of if onlys. If only I'd listened to the preacher. If only I'd heeded the message. If only I'd trusted the Savior. If only I'd one more chance. Eternity will be full of if onlys. But you see, you have another chance, friend. You have a wonderful chance, an opportunity right now. And the Lord has given you another chance because you're here. You're under the sound of the gospel. And that opportunity is now because he says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Please don't send it away by rejecting the Savior again. And here's Naomi. She comes to her senses. She not only has regrets, but she's heard this good news. And she's not going to make the same mistake again. No, then I'm going to do something now. I'm going to trust God. I didn't do it in the past, I feel, but now I'm going to. The word that's used here, you'll notice in verse 6, is the word Yahweh or Jehovah. The word for Lord is in the capitals. And that is the word that means Jehovah. And this is God's personal name. This is God's covenant name for his people, for his own people. She realizes that Israel represents the Lord. She has left the Lord for this patch of dirt in which she has buried her husband and her two precious boys. And she's discovered a lesson that when you turn away from the one place the Lord has promised to bless, anything you turn to, no matter how attractive it may seem from the world's position or the devil dangles it in front of your eyes, it'll only bring you bitterness. It'll not bring you satisfaction. In the end, you'll end up turning from the greater to the lesser. And everything the world has to offer you, though pretending to be great and big and satisfying, in the end it'll wither. In the end it'll vanish. In the end it'll die. It's just like as we stood yesterday in the parade and little children were in the front of us and they're blowing those bubbles out and they're trying to catch the bubbles, and as they caught them, they disappeared before their very eyes. And that's what the pleasure of the world will bring you, friend. Nothing. Vanish. Gone. The communication she received. Notice, secondly, the conviction she felt. And she, like the prodigal son, had gone far away from her home and from her God. But there's a moment here. There's a moment in this feeling, Moab, but here in verse 6, when something she heard awakens conviction within her heart. Something strikes her. Conscience. Something was born in her heart. And she must have reasoned that back home, knowing that what she knew about the God of Israel, back home must have been, the people must have repented, they've come back to the Lord, and the cycle of these, the days of the judges, the people were in idolatry, as I said, there was repentance, disobedience, repentance, blessing, and she knew all about this. She had grown up in this period, she knew all about it. Now she knows the Lord is working again, the people have repented, the Lord is blessing. And God has been gracious to Israel in the past, and now he's been gracious again, and he may be gracious to me. And this strikes her heart. Now in the fields of Moab, as she stands there in her barrenness, she realizes she's woke up to a real condition. She saw her dire straits, and she begins to think of the things of God. Friend, I wonder tonight, have you woken up to your condition? Do you realize that without Christ, you're heading for great loss? You see, Naomi lost her family. But sinner, you'll lose your soul. The most valuable thing that you have in life. You'll lose your soul. That's what is online tonight. You may be having a great time in your sin, but it will cost you in the long run. A day will come when your sins, they'll be paid out. And they'll be paid out in full. Right down to the last penny. You'll not be short-changed. Oh, we love bargains in life, don't we? And we don't like being short-changed. Well, friend, sinner, you will not be short-changed when you're paid for your sin. You'll be paid exactly down to the very last penny what you deserve. The Bible tells us that the wages of sin is death. And Naomi's sin brought physical death to her family, but your sin will bring spiritual death to you, to your soul. You'll end up in a lost sinner's hell. Friend, I wonder, have you woken up to your condition tonight? Naomi has. Here's a work of providence. The providence of God was at work for Naomi. You see, the Lord God always deals with his children as a wise and loving father. You see, it was no accident there was a famine in the land. In the first instance, there was no coincidence that Naomi's family had suffered this tragedy, or now that she hears of this bread in Bethlehem. This was not good luck. Just the hand of God. Providence of God. God is working on her behalf to bring her home. Where he wants her to be for his redemptive messianic plan. Her sovereign God, he's so wise. He's so wise that he can work not only in spite of our sin, but amazingly, even through our sin. Because he loved Naomi, the Lord would not allow her to stay in Moab. He was going to bring her home. Yes, it cost her husband and her sons, but he was going to bring her home. He would not permit her to continue there, away from Bethlehem, away from his people, away from his worship. But to bring her back, he had to deal with her in a very trying way. And I wonder, friend, maybe you're a backslider tonight. And I wonder what the Lord has to do in your life. What does he have to do to bring you home? Maybe an illness. Maybe some tragedy. Maybe the loss of a loved one. But what does he have to do to bring you home? Is he speaking to your heart tonight? How long will he have to speak? What will he have to do? You see, you need to realize that you cannot go on in your sin forever. Maybe you're in the meeting and you look back to a time where you professed faith in Christ and you would call yourself a backslider tonight. But you have to realize that you cannot go on in your sin forever, for to do so, it will cast great doubt upon your profession. Because you cannot be happy in your sin. You cannot continue in your sin if you're truly saved. You see, if you're happy in Moab, if you're happy in that far country, then you have to question that profession of faith. You have to question, was I truly saved? You need to examine yourself. Peter said, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Examine your heart tonight. Now, what was it that sparked this great conviction, this great awakening in Naomi's mind? She hears something. This news brings about this great awakening. This communication she heard, it stirred up her heart. And by the way, the gospel is good news, friend. She heard good news from a far country, as it were. And the good news of the gospel brings a great awakening to the minds of the people who don't know God or no interest in God, just as it does in the life of this woman. The word of God. What is it she hears? Look at what she hears. Jehovah, the Lord, had visited his people. Again, the covenant name. That name that reminds us of the promises that were made to Abraham and to Moses. The name that is the indicator of God's character. The great I Am. The self-existent God. The self-sustaining God. The self-sufficient God. It's his personal name. There are many titles for God that we find in the Bible, but this is his personal name, the name Jehovah, the one that keeps his covenant. And he made this covenant with his people. And here, remember this word Bethlehem here, the name of the town where they came from in Judah. It means the house of bread. And we read in verse 6 that she heard that there was bread in the house of bread. That's literally what verse 6 reads. That's how it reads. That she heard there was bread in the house of bread. You see, the word for bread in the Hebrew is lechem. And the word for town is bet. Bet lechem, house of bread. And here, in the story of redemption from Genesis to Revelation, that takes in the entire scriptures, we find redemption in every page of scripture. We find that the one who came from glory was the bread of life. The Lord Jesus Christ, the bread from heaven, would come down and become one of us. And he would be born in the house of bread in Bethlehem. And as we think of this verse, how the Lord had visited his people, our mind is brought straight to the New Testament, to Zechariah in Luke chapter 1 and 68, how he prophesied, filled with the Holy Spirit, saying, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people. And here it states that the object of the visitation was to redeem his people. And here, friend, tonight, as we stand here to proclaim the message of the gospel, the Lord's plan from all eternity was to send Christ to save sinners. That was his plan. Send Christ to save sinners. And Zechariah, as he lifted up that little baby in his arms, he said, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people and hath raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. The bread of heaven, the bread of life, will be born in Bethlehem. And notice that phrase there, in giving them bread. The Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Here's the thought of presentation. It's presented to them. It's not the Lord is selling them bread, or the Lord is allowing them to work for their bread. No, it's a free gift. The Lord is giving them bread. And dear sinner, you can never, as it were, earn your crust. You can never earn salvation. You can never earn God's favor. Rather, it's a gift, a free gift. He gave them bread. He gave them bread willingly. Bread, he said, I am the bread of life, John 6:48. And as we see Christ here, the one who came and was born in Bethlehem, the house of bread, he was God's gift to the world, to the sinner, to you tonight. And the one who came from heaven, that true bread from heaven, came to this lost world, and some 30 years later, he was broken on that cross of Calvary. Because of that work upon the cross, tonight, he gives light to those who are in darkness. freedom to those who dwell in bondage. He gives hope to those who dwell in misery. Just like Naomi, headed back to Bethlehem, to the house of bread. Friend, if you want to be satisfied tonight, you need to head to Christ, the bread of heaven. Here is a work of the word in this conviction. The Lord caused this chosen one to hear this good report of this grace toward his people. And when Naomi heard what the Lord had done for his people, she believed the message. She returned to Bethlehem because faith cometh by hearing. By some means or another, God got this good news to Naomi in the far country. And same way tonight, friend, the Lord is bringing good news to you. He sends a preacher to proclaim the good news of his rich and abundant grace. He sends a preacher to you tonight to say the Lord has visited and is willing to redeem you. The bread of life has come down from heaven, and whenever God brings deliverance to sinners, he causes them to hear, just like Naomi heard the news. Tonight he's causing you to hear the news. And you're not here out of coincidence. Again, the hand of providence is in this meeting, is upon your life. That you're here in this meeting, or whether you're listening online, the Lord has you here for a reason. That you would hear that the Lord has visited his people and given them bread. He offers salvation tonight to all who will freely accept it. What will your response be? Naomi's response to this good news was she arose and she went forth. Will you arise and will you come forth and accept Christ? Accept the bread of heaven? One final thought. Notice the conversion she had. She had heard in the country of Moab, we're told here. In the land where she was awakened, a message came to her from some source, for she heard the Lord had visited his people. This expresses her great need. She said, I am hungry, I am in poverty, but God have visited his people and given them bread. I will arise, I will meet this issue, I will leave Moab, I will return to Bethlehem, the house of bread. And someone, we're not told, this is unknown to us, someone brought this message to Naomi. We're not told who it was. We're not told how she heard it, but she heard this news because God was faithful. And God is still faithful. God has faithful messengers in all parts of this world proclaiming the message that Christ is the bread of life. One of the things we notice as we come to this story is a repetition of that word that is translated as return. It's the same word. It's shuv in Hebrew. Translated to turn back or brought back or gone back. And it's repeated in this chapter in verse 6, 7, 8, 10, 15, 16, 21 and 22. It's all over this story. This word return. And it's a very important word. We need to consider it because it's the closest word in the Hebrew that comes to our word for repentance or conversion. Throughout Deuteronomy, the people are warned not to convert, turn back, return to false gods or to the idols. And when they do, they are told to turn, return, come back to God, repent, turn back to God. And in this story, this word is used over and over and over again to describe this conversion in the heart of this woman. Something has happened in Judah. God has visited. Now something deep and lasting is happening to Naomi. She arose to return in verse 6. She set out to return to the land in verse 7. No matter how disobedient she's been in the past, no matter how she's failed the Lord in the past, now she's going back to God. And friend, tonight, no matter what you've done, no matter what you've done in your past, no matter how great your sin may seem to be to you tonight, the Lord is willing. The Lord is willing and able to receive you and to save you. But you must arise. You must be like Naomi. You must leave your sin behind. You must make your way to the cross. But what is it here that is driving her repentance? What is this change of mind? Where does this change of mind come from? This about turn here. You'll notice the link in this story with the story of the prodigal son in Luke 15. You see, when the backslider returns to his father's house, there's always a reason. And in the story of the prodigal son in Luke 15, there were reasons that caused him to return home. One was a divine awakening. He came to himself, we're told, in Luke 15. It was like a man awakening out of his sleep. It was as if he was just woken up. All of a sudden, he came to his senses. God's word says, "Awake thou that sleepest and arise from the dead." And friend, tonight, let me say this. You need to be awakened out of the sleep of your death. And only if the work of the Spirit can do that. You see, I can stand here tonight and I can preach to him blue in the face, and I can roar and shout and holler at the top of my voice. I can come down to your seat and I can shake you and shout, wake up, and it'll not make a bit of a difference. Unless the Lord moves in your heart, unless the Spirit moves up in your soul and awakens you. He came to himself, and Naomi, she came to herself. The prodigal had a revelation of his need. He said, "I perish with hunger." And when a man is awakened to the fact that he is about to perish, a spirit of fear will possess him. He'll begin to look to his father's house for help because he had nothing. Remember, he worked among the pigs. He had absolutely nothing. He said, "I'm going to die here unless I get food. I'm helpless. I can do nothing for myself. I need to go to the one who has the bread." And sinner, you need to come to that point. You need to be awakened and need to realize that you're perishing in your sin. And you're helpless to do anything about it. Only Christ can satisfy. And he had a vision of the good that was at home. Remember what he said? "How many hired servants they are of my father's house that have bread enough and to spare." He remembered the bountiful supply and had that table spread before them of all the food, that even the servants had more than enough to eat. And he realized what he left behind. And here's Naomi. And likewise, he remembers. She remembers the bountiful harvests in the day of old, the feast of the Lord in the temple, the great day of atonement on which Israel's sins of the coming year were cancelled. And here, like the prodigal, she reflects over the past years, and as a result, she went forth out of the place. She returns home to Bethlehem, not just to Judah, but to Bethlehem, the house of bread. And in a sense, every conversion has to involve the process of leaving and going. Leaving your sin, going to Christ. Verse 7 says, "Wherefore she went forth out of the place." And there can never be reconciliation with God without separation from your sin. And even for the Christian, let me say, even for the Christian, you know, we are to be separated from the world. There is a lesson here for the child of God tonight. Any one of us could fall foul to what Elimelech and Naomi fell foul to. Take our eyes off Christ. We could end up barren in barrenness. You see, "Get out" was the word of God to Abraham. Out of Egypt and into Canaan was the command of God to the children of Israel. Separation always precedes sanctification. And the evil world, it must be given up if the fullness of heaven is to be gained. The swine troughs and hog pens of the world, they have to be forsaken. You cannot live in your sin and say you are a Christian. You cannot serve God and mammon. A choice must be made. Choose you this day whom you will serve. And Naomi here, she has made a choice. And so must we. She was determined to leave Moab, return to Israel. She was willing to leave her nearest and dearest relatives behind. She knew from whence she had fallen. She knew that she had lost out. She had lost out of God. She remembered how blessed things were in Bethlehem, and she was determined. She was determined to return, and no matter what the cost would be. She had already lost all, living in sin. Now she was willing to lose all to go back to Bethlehem. With the return of every backslider, there must be confession. The son confessed to his father. The prodigal said, "I have sinned. I have sinned, Father, against thee." And without confession, repentance, it's not genuine. It has to be confession. And friend, tonight in this meeting, it's hard for the sinner to confess and pray that prayer, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." But if you are to be saved, if you are to be born again, if you are ever to reach heaven, you need to confess your sin, your barrenness, that you're lost, you have nothing, you're a poor beggar, you have nothing to feed yourself with. There's only bread available with Christ. You see, the scriptures teach that if a man will confess and forsake a sin, he will find mercy. And we'll find that with Naomi in the incoming weeks. You see, there's mercy with the Lord tonight for you. Naomi realized that all the world had promised her and all the world had promised her family had failed to materialize. It didn't last. Oh yes, we don't read, but maybe in the beginning years of her life, during those opening years, things might have been brilliant. Oh, Elimelech might have said, Naomi, what a decision we have made. Oh, the boys will love this place. Look at the land and the fields and look at what we've brought them to. Oh, they'll thrive here. They'll be better educated here. They'll be businessmen here. We've made the right decision. But she soon realized they lost out on God. And what about you tonight, friend? Are you still hankering after the things of the world to bring satisfaction? If you are, you'll be left disappointed. Why not come tonight to the one who truly can satisfy you? The Lord Jesus Christ, who is the bread of life. Come. Come like Naomi. She arose and she went forth. Will you arise from your sin? Will you leave it behind you? Will you come forth? Come to Christ. Come to the cross. Cry out for mercy. He said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We read in Romans 10. He'll not turn you away. All that come upon me, I will in no wise cast out. He will receive you gladly. He will give you life and life more abundant. The Lord bless his word to our hearts tonight for his name's sake. Let us close our meeting just now in a word of prayer. Loving Father in heaven, Lord, we've learned that the way of the transgressor is hard. Naomi certainly learned that lesson. Lord, those in their sin will learn that lesson the hard way. If they don't repent, this side of eternity, now they will learn that lesson. And Father, we pray that there be any in our meeting tonight who maybe are in a backsliding state, who are like Naomi, who once walked with the Lord but have left the Lord. They're living down in Moab and they thought they would find satisfaction there, and maybe at the beginning they enjoyed it, but now they're no longer enjoying it. Rather, they are in agony of soul tonight, and there is that wrestling match within their own heart, and the devil is telling them to stay where they are. And yet her Heavenly Father is standing with his arms wide open to welcome them home. Father, we know it takes humility to admit we're wrong. And we know that pride affects us and holds us back often. We don't want to admit in the place that we're found. But Lord, help us to be humble tonight. Help us to be humbled under the hand of Almighty God and to confess our waywardness. If there be any in our meeting unsaved, knows nothing of salvation and the grace of God, Father, speak to them through thy word. And we thank you for Christ. Oh, the bread of life, the bread of heaven, the one who truly satisfies. When we have Christ, all we need, nothing else. Our souls are full with joy, with peace. We have that reconciliation with thee. Father, as the voice of the preacher even grows silent now, Lord, be pleased to speak on even to the hearts and souls of the people before us. Thank you for thy presence with us, Lord. We pray for thy blessing upon us even throughout the rest of this week. Part us now with thy fear and with thy favour. Do our souls good, we ask, in our Saviour's name. Amen.